Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really digging into the world of precision German engineering, specifically Audi, and how high-performance modifications can, well, unlock potential you might not even know is there. We've pulled together what's essentially a detailed guide for you, the driver who maybe wants to strategically upgrade your Audi, thinking about transforming it from, a great daily driver into something more reliable and high-performing.
That's exactly it. And our aim today isn't just speed for speed's sake. It's about giving you a roadmap, a strategy. We're basically pulling out the key steps from a pretty comprehensive plan. We'll cover the main upgrades, give some estimated costs. And let me stress, these are just ballpark figures for education, definitely not quotes. And maybe most importantly, the strategic order to do things. We're framing all this specifically around the tough conditions you might face in, say, a really hot climate. Think Dallas, Texas. You've got that intense summer heat, lots of stop-and-go traffic, but also those long highway stretches.
Okay, let's unpack that a bit. I mean, you buy an Audi, you've already got a premium, really well-engineered car, right? So why go through the hassle and expense of performance upgrades? Beyond just wanting to go faster, what are the sort of practical reasons, especially with that Texas heat challenge?
Right, good question. It boils down to enhancing the experience and protecting the car. The source material highlights four key benefits, especially for that kind of environment. First, the most obvious one, boosting power responsiveness. We're talking about unlocking horsepower and torque that Audi, well, deliberately leaves untapped in the factory tune.
But hang on, if Audi builds these amazing machines, why would they leave power on the table? Doesn't that compromise reliability if you start messing with it?
Yeah, that's the core insight, really. The sources point out that a lot of modern Audis, especially the turbocharged ones, are actually undertuned right from the factory. They do it for a few reasons: meeting global emissions rules, hitting fuel economy targets, and importantly, building in a huge safety margin for reliability. So the car works perfectly whether you're in Alaska or Arizona. Modifying just well, it carefully closes that margin a bit.
Gotcha. So you're not breaking it, you're just optimizing it closer to its real capability.
Okay. What were the other three benefits then? Second is enhanced handling. More power is kind of useless, maybe even dangerous if the car can't handle it,
Right.
especially on roads that can be unpredictable. So suspension and brake upgrades give you much sharper control, more confidence, higher safety limits. Third, and this is critical for hot climates like Dallas, is improved reliability under stress. Better cooling systems, maybe some stronger components. They let the engine truly thrive in that heat. It prevents the engine from pulling back power to protect itself, which is something called heat soak. You want sustained performance.
Makes total sense. Heat is always the enemy of making power, especially with turbos.
Absolutely. And the fourth benefit, which sometimes surprises people, is that doing high-quality professional work can actually help preserve or even increase resale value. If, and this is a big if, the upgrades follow what's called an OEM plus philosophy.
Okay, you dropped a term there, OEM plus philosophy. Can you break that down? What does that actually mean when we're talking about modifying a car?
Sure. OEM stands for Original Equipment Manufacturer. So OEM plus means aiming for upgrades that significantly boost performance but still maintain, or even exceed, factory levels of reliability, fit, and finish. It's all about seamless integration. The mod should feel like it could have come from Audi itself, not some obvious bolted-on aftermarket piece that looks out of place.
Right, blending in while standing out in performance. Okay, that makes sense. So if we're aiming for that OEM plus quality, what are the main upgrade categories we should know, and what kind of gains are we talking about?
The foundation, especially with modern Audis, is really the software. So ECU and TCU tuning, the engine control unit and transmission control unit. This is where you see the biggest bang for your buck, proportionally speaking. Gains can be anywhere from, say, plus 15% up to plus 40% horsepower. Cost-wise, you're looking at roughly $500 to maybe $2,500 for this, depending on the car and the tuner.
And just quickly, ECU is engine brain, TCU is transmission brain.
Exactly. ECU manages fuel, spark, boost pressure, the engine's core functions. TCU controls how the automatic transmission shifts speed, firmness. Tuning both makes a massive difference in how the car feels and responds. Like just a basic stage one ECU tune that software only on something like an A4 might add 40 to 60 horsepower. But on a higher end model like an RS5, you can see gains of 70, maybe even 100 horsepower. Just from software.
Wow. Okay, those numbers really show how much headroom is built in. So after the software, what physical parts, what bolt-ons usually come next to support that power?
Right, you need the hardware to support the software.
So next up are the airflow upgrades, intake and exhaust bolt-ons. Think better air filters, intake pipes, performance exhaust systems. They help the engine breathe more easily. And yeah, they usually make it sound better too. Gains here are more modest, maybe plus 5% to plus 15% HP. The cost can vary a lot. A simple high-flow air filter might be $200, but a full stainless steel exhaust system could be $2,000 or even more.
Now, thinking about these core upgrades, if you had to pick just one that's absolutely critical for someone driving hard in, like, 100-degree Dallas summers, which one is it?
Oh, hands down, it's the intercooler and cooling system upgrades. Their value isn't just peak power. It's about sustained power. They manage the heat generated under boost. They stop the engine from getting heat soaked and pulling back power when you're pushing it hard. That's key for consistent performance. Costs here are typically in the $700 to $1,800 range.
So it's less about adding power and more about actually keeping the power you've unlocked, especially when it's hot. Exactly right. And then the final core category is suspension and brake upgrades. Can't stress enough how important these are for control and safety. Costs range pretty widely, maybe $800 for basic upgrades, up to $4,000 or more for serious track-ready stuff.
Okay, knowing those potential gains is exciting, but let's pump the brakes slightly and talk strategy, because the source material really hammers home the idea that you need an order to do this reliably. You can't just jump straight to that big ECU tune, right?
Absolutely not. That's how you run into problems. The recommended roadmap is all about building a solid foundation and ensuring the supporting systems are there before you add significant stress. It saves money and headaches down the line. It's basically a six-step process, but the first three are all about prep work.
Okay, walk us through those prep steps first. What comes before the power?
Step one, non-negotiable. A full vehicle health inspection. You have to find and fix any existing issues. Deferred maintenance is a killer. Think oil leaks, worn belts, old fluids, timing components on older cars. Address that first. It's preventative maintenance. Step two, then you can add your airflow bolt-ons, the intake and exhaust. Get the engine breathing a little better, modest gains.
And then you tackle the heat problem.
Precisely. Step three, especially for hot climates, is cooling enhancements. Get that upgraded intercooler, maybe a better radiator or oil cooler. Hmm. This is where you build resilience against that Texas heat, ensuring performance stays consistent.
Hold on. So the critical takeaway here is, fix existing problems, improve airflow slightly, then bulletproof the cooling system against the heat, all before you even think about adding significant power with a tune.
That's the absolute core of the strategy. Support the engine's environment first.
Yeah.
Make sure it can handle the stress before you apply it. Only when those supporting mods are in place do you move to step four, the ECU tune. Now you can safely unlock that power potential because the car is ready for it.
Power unlocked. Now, keeping it on the road.
Step five. Suspension and brakes. This is where you match the car's handling and stopping ability to its new performance level, critical for safety and just enjoying the car. And then finally, step six is for those who want to go even further. Advanced performance upgrades, bigger turbos, built engine internals, that kind of thing. Maximizing potential.
Okay, let's circle back to step three, the climate defense. For those really popular turbocharged Audis, you know, the S3, S4, S5, the RS models, what specific cooling parts are typically recommended?
Yeah, for those cars, the key is efficient heat exchange and capacity. So you're looking at things like high-capacity barn plate intercoolers, sometimes upgraded radiators for the engine coolant. Additional oil cooling systems can be really beneficial too, especially for the transmission or engine oil. And even just using a high-performance coolant and flushing the system properly helps. Think about it. You're sitting in 100-degree traffic, AC blasting, then you hit an on-ramp and demand full boost. That's a huge thermal shock. These upgrades prevent heat soak, ensuring you get consistent power every time you ask for it.
Right. And we established earlier, power's no good if the chassis can't handle it. Let's break down those handling mods a bit more. For someone who knows what suspension is, but maybe not performance parts, what exactly are they buying?
Good question. Handling is where you feel the precision. First up, you often hear about coilovers or performance springs. Coilovers are more than just springs. They're integrated spring and shock absorber units, usually adjustable for ride height and damping stiffness. They let you really dial in the handling, lower the center of gravity, reduce body roll in corners, big difference in feel. Costs can range from, say, $800 for good quality springs up to $3,000 or more for high-end adjustable coilovers.
And stopping that extra speed.
That's where big brake kits, BBKs, come in. We're talking physically larger brake discs, or rotors, and multi-piston calipers that clamp down with more force. They drastically improve stopping power, reduce stopping distances, and resist brake fade during repeated hard use. Honestly, almost essential if you're adding significant power. But they're not cheap, $1,000 on the low end, easily up to $4,000 plus for serious kits. And don't forget smaller but impactful items like upgraded sway bars and bushings. Sway bars stiffen the connection between the left and right wheels, reducing how much the car leans and turns. Stiffer bushings replace the soft factory rubber ones, removing slop from the suspension and steering, making everything feel tighter, more responsive. These are usually more affordable, maybe $400 to $1,000.
This is all great info on the what's and why, but performance tuning isn't without risk, right? Let's talk practicalities, warranty, and legality. What's the big warning sign drivers need to heed?
And how does maintenance change once you're tuned? Yeah, the practical stuff is crucial. Warranty first. The source material is very clear. Most ECU tunes and major mechanical mods can, and often will, affect your factory warranty. Basically, if a dealership can reasonably link a component failure back to your modification, especially an engine or transmission tune, they have grounds to deny the warranty claim for that repair. It's called the Magnuson-Moss Act, but proving the mod didn't cause the failure can be tough.
So wait, if I install, say, a big brake kit for $4,000 and then my turbo blows, are they connected? Is my whole warranty gone?
That's where it gets tricky. It's unlikely brakes would cause a turbo failure. But the ECU tune, that directly affects engine operation, so it's the most likely modification to trigger a warranty denial for engine issues. So if keeping that factory warranty intact is a high priority for you, you have to weigh the risks very carefully. Maybe stick to mods less likely to cause powertrain issues, or look for warranty-friendly tuning options if they exist.
Okay, risk acknowledged. What about keeping the car healthy after the mods? Does maintenance get more intense?
Absolutely. Yeah, a tuned performance Audi is working harder. So the maintenance schedule needs to be tighter. Forget the standard long oil change intervals. You're looking at high-quality synthetic oil changes, probably every 5,000, maybe 6,000 miles max. You also need to be much more diligent about checking all fluids, especially coolant levels. And things like spark plugs, ignition coils, they wear faster under higher boost, so they need more frequent inspection and replacement. It's just the cost of playing the performance game.
Got it.
Now, before we wrap up the parts talk, what about the big guys? The SUVs like the Q5 or Q7, people modify those too, right? Is the approach different?
Yeah, it's a bit different. The focus usually shifts away from just peak horsepower. Mm-hmm. For SUVs, you generally want torque-oriented tuning. More low-end grunt makes a heavy vehicle feel much more responsive in daily driving, helps with merging, passing, and especially towing if you do that. And because they are heavier and might be towing, those cooling upgrades are still super important, maybe even more so. And brake upgrades become almost mandatory for safety with the extra weight and potential loads.
Okay. And one last clarification on tuning lingo. Stage 1 versus Stage 2, what's the simple difference?
Good one to clarify. Stage 1 is generally defined as software-only tuning, just the ECU, maybe the TCU tune. It requires minimal or usually zero hardware changes. It's perfect for a daily driver who wants a noticeable, reliable power bump without getting too involved in hardware. It keeps that OEM Plus feel very well. Stage 2 is the next level up. It always involves the software tune plus necessary supporting hardware. The most common requirements are an upgraded intercooler, and often a high-flow downpipe, the first section of the exhaust after the turbo. Stage 2 unlocks significantly more power than Stage 1, but it absolutely needs those hardware upgrades to work safely and reliably. You can't just flash a Stage 2 tune onto a stock car.
Okay, so putting this all together, what this really means for you, the listener, is that getting true performance out of an Audi isn't just about slapping on parts. It's about precision, just like the car itself. Sustainable power, especially somewhere demanding like Dallas, needs a solid strategy. You have to prioritize cooling. You have to make sure the handling and braking can cope with the extra power. It really embodies that OEM plus philosophy we talked about, making upgrades that enhance performance but feel fully integrated and reliable.
Couldn't have said it better. And that strategic approach really highlights why choosing the right shop or specialist is so important. The source emphasizes finding people who are factory trained, who understand both the performance side and the critical maintenance side. Someone who can help you plan based on your specific car, your driving habits, and importantly, your local climate needs. Transparency is key.
So we've seen there's a surprising amount of power just waiting to be unlocked in a standard Audi engine. But we've also seen how vital those supporting mods, cooling, handling, brakes are for making that power usable and reliable, especially when you're battling intense summer heat. This whole discussion about strategy, support, and control, it brings up a really interesting question for you to think about. If you were putting together your own performance package for your Audi, where would you draw the line? Would you push for that absolute maximum thrilling horsepower number, knowing it might stress components more? Or would you maybe dial it back just a notch from the peak? consciously choosing to prioritize long-term reliability, everyday drivability, and that robust control needed for aggressive driving in tough conditions like extreme heat. It's that classic balance, isn't it? Peak performance versus long-term real-world dependability, something to consider.